Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of From the Touchline in Seattle. I'm Todd Stauber, and I'm here with Aaron Heinz.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Todd. Here we go.
Yeah, he's feeling lively after a night out with Sir Andy Machen.
Yes, indeed. It's always a good time with Machen.
Yeah, Machen might make another appearance on this show.
Love that.
Well, we've got quite the week that happened. We've got Champions League.
Yes.
We've got some Premier League results to talk about from last week, and some big matches coming up this weekend, Heinzo. Some big ones. We've also got some other big European matches coming up around Europe this weekend, and then we're going to talk MLS because when we're talking MLS, we're talking about a playoff race that is about as confusing and muddled as it possibly could be.
Looking forward to it. Major League Soccer.
After missing the World 11 and the bottom three last week, we're going to be back with a vengeance on that this week. And then we're going to reopen the two-touch segment.
Ooh, nice.
And we're actually going to take three touches on the two-touch. But let's get all started here on the Champions League. It started on Tuesday.
Okay, sorry.
Heinzen's drinking a bottle of Heineken while he sings that. I couldn't decide what to start with here because I'm really torn here. Do I start with Arsenal's disaster or Chelsea's disaster? I really couldn't make a decision. But I'm going to go with Chelsea because the great thing about Chelsea losing to Porto 2-1 is that Iker Casillas, who was treated so poorly by Jose Mourinho, the special one at Real Madrid. He comes back in there to Porto where he won his first Champions League, and he completely bottles it. What do you think?
Well, it's, you know, a man who was a hero to that place, you know, winning the Champions League way back when he did. Everyone loves him. Gone on to be the special one all over the place, and I think they were probably pretty happy to see him go down. I mean, he's had struggles in the Premier League, obviously the Newcastle debacle from last weekend. And then to lose Porto like that, not a good week for Jose Mourinho. And Porto has to be thrilled to beat the guy who made them a famous club, brought them their last champions, their last real glory outside of Portugal. Obviously, he'll always have a place in their hearts. He's not a hated man there by any means, but I think it's kind of nice to knock him off the perch.
Well,
I mean, so, you know, the guy's gone from playing one of the worst teams in the Premier League and tying them, and going to Portugal or to Porto, where, you know, with Chelsea, with the money that he's got in the club and losing there as well. So, you know, I think there is one man
who hates the special one in Porto, and that is Iker Casillas. Even though Iker Casillas is a complete and thorough gentleman, and he would never lead on to anything, you know, negative in the media. But come on, he had to know. And he got in that locker room after that game and was about as happy as any man
playing
in the Champions League that night.
Absolutely. I mean, and, yeah, there's multiple players who's played for him as well. Mike Owen played for him back in the Milan days, and he's the winner. It's very, very happy to get that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of guys that were probably pretty happy to get the win. And Porto, they needed that. So they're not to win at home, to get that win over Chelsea was huge because who knows what Chelsea are going to look like. Are they going to change things up and improve by the time they see them later on in the group stage this, you know, next month?
And Chelsea's certainly not out. I mean, we got several
games
to play,
yeah,
as we talked about pre-show. I mean, they're certainly not out of the competition.
No, not at all.
I think it does, you know, and we'll talk about this maybe a little later when we get into the Premier League, but it really does show that Chelsea's not in a good place right now, you know. It just results aren't coming in the Premier League. Results aren't coming in the Champions League. You know, there's all sorts of controversy surrounding Mourinho, whether it's, you know, regarding John Terry, whether it's regarding the doctors and the whole medical staff there. It's been a debacle. And really, I think it started when he gave them a massive, you know, he extended their summer break.
Mm-hmm.
They came in unfit. And they've really just never looked to regain it.
Well, they didn't really spend that much either for a Chelsea club that probably needed a little help back there. Now they're in trouble, like you said. John Terry's included now. I mean, what's his leadership looking like inside the locker room? Big question for me.
His leadership's been completely undermined.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think he has it.
Yeah.
I think really to be dead honest, coming into year three, Jose Mourinho needed somebody like John Terry in his corner that locker room, because he's traditionally, you know, he wears on players after a while. You know, I think all coaches do.
Sure.
And I think you need that guy like a John Terry, a veteran presence that's going to help kind of stabilize things in the locker room, and that possibility is completely gone now.
Right. I don't think, you know, I don't see John Terry. He's made some dumb decisions over his career. But I don't see him as a guy who's, like, sulking around the locker room. He's a guy who probably wants to keep things going, but it's been tough since he was just suddenly ripped out of that game and benched. And now
the City game,
no fault of his own, pulled out of that game and then has yet to really be properly introduced again. So,
yeah,
I think it definitely is. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, John, good to have you around, but you're not in the starting 11 anymore. You're not part of the back. You're still a leader here, but they got to look to somebody on the field, and there's no one on the field, obviously, stepping into that role.
I think Kurt Zouma is going to be a very good player.
Kurt Zouma, too young, though. He's too early in his career, and you've lost Peter Cech, who would have been the obvious next one to do it. Cech's gone. The Courtois injury doesn't help. Diego Costa's attitude doesn't help. Cesc Fabregas has gone missing. Hazard's pretty much the only bright spot, but he's a talented player. He's not a leader on the team. So who is it? Cahill, I mean, you look at him, but he hasn't provided anything in the past. So
yeah, Cesc Fabregas has gone missing to Mars because he's looking more and more like an alien every time I see him. NASA discovered that there's salt water on Mars this week, and Fabregas was there walking Mars.
They're getting closer.
So speaking of Petr Cech, somehow Arsenal paid a lot of money for him and decided that they weren't going to play him in the Champions League. And they thought David Ospina, Arsene Wenger thought David Ospina was going to be a good choice. And then he threw the ball into his own net. And Arsenal went ahead and lost 3-2 to lowly Greek side Olympiacos at the Emirates. And had it not been for some shocking goalkeeping on Olympiacos' side themselves, it would have been much worse. I mean, this is unbelievable what's going on with Arsenal. And again, you said this before, and I think you bring up a good point. Arsene Wenger is a man of mystery because somehow his teams are shocking, and he stays there.
Yeah.
I mean, 3-2 there. I don't know what to say anymore. I mean, why would you not play Petr Cech in the Champions League? That's why you bought him. That's why you bought him, is to play in these games. Why are you not playing him? What is he thinking?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's thinking it's Olympiacos. We should be okay. Let's give Ospina a couple minutes. I don't know. It was a debacle on Ospina's part. Arsenal, you know, it's true. It's Arsenal win, beat Leicester. They're not fooled by Leicester. They smash them 5-2. They look great. Like, okay, here comes the machine, the Gunners machine. They're going to start churning out some things. They turn right around, lose to Olympiacos. They're now 0-2. They're not going to get out of this group.
They have to play
Bayern Munich twice, who's just destroying everything right now. I don't see them beating them. So they're looking at four losses right there, and that's that. You've lost to the other two teams. You've lost to Zagreb, and Olympiacos, those aren't good teams.
No. So, and the great thing about this is, and you know that I love a Wenger meltdown. I love a Wenger meltdown.
Oh, man.
But there's one coming on October 20th because that's when they face Bayern Munich. He's in a must-win situation. There's going to be a ton of build-up for this match, and he's going to be saying, oh, we can do this, and they're going to get smashed. You're right. Bayern Munich is going to destroy them when they play them on October 20th. There's no question in my mind. And I mean, Wenger's going to be out right there. He's going to be out of the Champions League already, and it's going to be October.
Yeah, that will be interesting because there's always – he's an interesting man. I mean, you could see him. You could see Arsenal somehow – if Bayern Munich are done qualifying, they're pretty much out, you know, they're going to move on. You could see Arsenal catching them again, beating Bayern Munich, winning their last three games, and somehow slipping in just in Wenger's style. You're like, oh, it's a nightmare. Oh, but then Wenger gets in at the last minute. That's the only thing I'm just saying, just for possibilities. I don't think they're going to beat them the first time around. They're going to be 0-3. But they finish 3-3 and somehow on goal advantage, slip through.
But, well, it's also possible a giraffe's going to walk into the field right now. So, I mean, anything you're right is possible, but
it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight.
Arsenal, I just don't see it happening with them. But, you know, I mean, obviously, I think, I mean, the question keeps coming up. I mean, at what point do we consider Wenger and Mourinho in trouble with their jobs? I mean, listen, it's not like Chelsea's been shy to sack a manager before. Even they've sacked Mourinho before.
Yeah, I mean, no question about that. I think, and Mourinho said it, this is a new thing for him. It's a new, on that contested media interview he had a few weeks back where he's saying, this is new for me, you know, what part of my career has been bad, you know, I've won here, my third year issue. He says this is a new for me, I'm creating this, and, you know, it's not going well so far. And obviously he needs to build for the future, and he hasn't done it. So January's going to be big. They're not going to let Mourinho go unless suddenly Chelsea don't win at all in the Premier League. I mean, he has to really, really do poor. He's going to get him out of the Champions League group stage, I think. You know, as long as if Chelsea are mid-table, and they only need a couple of wins to get themselves back up there. It's weird to see them right now, but there's only, you know, seven games in now.
It is early. And,
it's early.
And they came in off of an extended break, so maybe they catch their form.
Yeah, maybe they catch it. Or, I mean, if not, they're going to give them to January.
I would say Chelsea has a better chance. Chelsea has a better chance to catch their form than Arsenal.
Yeah. Arsenal, I mean, you know, people are saying they're now, you know, they're in fourth place. I mean, you know, classic Arsenal. If they don't get out of the group stage of the Champions League, I think that will be, because usually they're always in the round 16, you know, maybe the quarterfinals. I think it's just what Arsenal expected every year. I mean, what's so fascinating about Wenger. He just does not change. Gary Neville said something pretty interesting the other day. He's either extremely arrogant or he's naive. Because when he came into the team, he had all those guys. He had, you know, everyone talks about that at the season they had. You had Petit. You had Vieira. You had Tony Adams. You had guys that actually hit people and played. It wasn't always really pretty to look at, but they got results. And now, year after year, it's the same crew, the same, like, you know, touch, move, pass, but lose. Horrendous losses and terrible defensive mistakes.
Well, he's trying to defend with Karen Mertesacker.
Yeah, I mean, Mertesacker, you know, decent defender, but not a hitting guy. I mean, you have Hoogland, the only guy I could possibly name who's out there actually trying to make a difference. But everybody else is floating around, and maybe they get the job done, maybe they don't. It's, I don't know. I mean, for me, it's...
Yeah.
And it just carries in day in and day out.
Either way, I love it because I enjoy watching both of these things happen. I think it's fantastic. I'm as happy as I could be. I was up this morning, 6 a.m. pre-show, trying to decide which of these clowns I was going to talk about first.
I was sitting in a lot of rooms like, everything's going my way right now. All the people I hate are just having a nightmare.
Oh, God, this is just a great week. I just love it.
That's great.
The other headlines from Tuesday, Bate Borisov, Belarusian side, with a huge win over Roma, a Roma team that's in shambles, really, 3-2. That's a good result for them. Other headlines, Bayern Munich 5-0 over Dinamo Zagreb. That's not really a big deal. Robert Lewandowski scoring another 3 goals for 8 in 2 games. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, Robert Lewandowski, a freak of nature right now, 10 goals, 3 games, like you said. There's a great article in The Guardian talking about Lewandowski and Guardiola. They're finally kind of figuring things out. He's finally maturing as arguably one of the best forwards in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
The guy was insane at Dortmund. He's just come into a team that's even better. And he's showing it, and they're giving it to him. So,
how about Douglas Costa?
Well, that's a huge piece, too. I mean, he has the speed now. Ribéry obviously lost a step, still a great player, still have him as an option. So now you've got Robin on one side, Costa on the other, but the two wing players that can spur the ball in easily. And you have the nightmare that's Thomas Müller sitting right.
And in reserve, you have Mario Götze, and you have Ribéry in reserve.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's a devastating team right now.
It really is. I feel like, we compared a little bit Barcelona to Bayern last week in the show, but I feel like Guardiola has almost more to deal with at Bayern Munich in terms of how many quality players he had, almost as he did in those great Barcelona sides.
Yeah, I agree.
He's got some fantastic players.
Yeah, I mean, and they just take for them to have to win the Champions League this year to actually start talking about could they continue? And will Guardiola stay? This is his last year on his contract. So you could start talking about that kind of stuff later on. But, no, I agree. He's got amazing talent up there.
He did. I could start talking about that, but instead I'll start talking about Wednesday's Champions League results because there were some great ones there. After two English Premier League defeats on Tuesday, the Premier League came back with a vengeance on Wednesday. Manchester United went down early 1-0 on shocking defending. Oh my, Antonio Valencia, why don't you keep the entire stadium on side? Wolfsburg looked to be good, but, you know, United actually played very well, and Juan Mata was brilliant. Wayne Rooney was shocking, but in the end, it was a Juan Mata penalty, and then it was a great little flick by Mata to Smalling. So, good win for Manchester United. I think they look a lot better. I think they're starting to look a little more settled in, but Wayne Rooney, man,
What do you think? Do you think he's off penalties for good?
Well, not that. I mean, he took a good penalty. I mean, he smacked it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Wayne Rooney, I mean, he could be off the field soon. I mean, it's just he was bad. Obviously, he had the shocking miss in the first half when Martial beat a couple guys and squared it across. Second half, just some loss of possession. It was just, I mean, at one point he was dribbling up the field on a post and just tripped on the ball and lost the ball. I mean, he looks so out of sorts. I will give him that he keeps pressing in midfield and he keeps working hard. I'll give him that. But he just does not look good. And you have to wonder, would United be better off with Mata at the 10 and Ashley Young wide and bring Rooney off? You have to wonder that. Or are Herrera at the 10 and keep Mata where he's at? Because Mata's kind of coming inside quite a bit. He starts out wide right and comes on the inside. You got to wonder if they're better with Rooney off the field.
Well, I mean, you know, I just think since he's the captain, they're never going to replace him. He's kind of the heart of the team right now. He's still linked, huge links with the Ferguson era. I mean, as long as United keep winning, Rooney stays for sure. You know, maybe the captaincy, he's one of those players where it's kind of wearing on him. He sees his role more as winning the ball in midfield, like you said, trying to create things and less about scoring goals anymore. I mean, now he has Martial. Mata can still score. You know, he just doesn't see – maybe that's kind of the reason for his huge goal drop. Obviously, he's scoring for England, but he's still taking the PKs and stuff for them. So that's been a big part of the goals that he's gotten there recently. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, his goal-scoring form isn't going very well. He scored in the League Cup.
I mean, listen,
that's about it.
Aside from tap-ins and penalties,
you don't see much
from him. Name me a Wayne Rooney goal that he's created on his own in the last, 2 months or whatever.
Yeah, I can't do it.
I don't know about that. The other Manchester team with a 2-1 win, City over Borussia Mönchengladbach, thanks to Joe Hart, let's be honest.
Yeah.
City looked in shambles. Joe Hart did not look in shambles. A penalty save. Two other brilliant saves in the run of play, and they were lucky to get out of there with those points.
Oh, yeah. Mönchengladbach, they got to be just kicking themselves for the misses and stuff. Joe Hart was brilliant, but they were in behind several times. Otamendi was beaten on speed numerous occasions, just all over the place. But they, you know, to be fair, Sergio Aguero gets a PK at the very end, and they've got it. So huge points for them, for City, because their Champions League hopes have been dashed in the group stage the last few years. So I think they have a chance this time around.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But, I mean, did you think that was a penalty on Aguero?
I don't know. It was close. I don't know.
Yeah, it was close.
Yeah.
I think it was, but it was questionable.
It was. You could see it going out of the way.
To make that call that late because as he cuts that ball, is he going to get to it is my question. And I'm not sure he's going to get to that ball.
I think it's just one of those, you know, the contact.
He definitely caught him. There's no question. But let's talk Juventus because now they've added Sami Khedira to go in the middle with Paul Pogba. I mean, they've defeated Sevilla 2-0. Sevilla looked like they all had school buses on their back, and it wasn't that they did. I mean, nobody can penetrate Juventus defensively. I mean, how good can you be? And they looked to wait to be right back on the way to knockout round of the Champions League after losing all these players.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. And they hung on to Pogba for one more year. So, they made the transition perfectly. You know, you're like, okay, Bayern, you want Vidal. I mean, Juventus know they're not going to be able to compete on the money level with some of these other clubs still. I mean, they're a massive club, but some of the financial issues and things that they've had in the past, or that the Serie A's had in the past, that, you know, Juventus aren't quite there. So they do a little wheel and deal. They hang on to Paul Pogba this time. They sell Vidal. They get Khedira on the cheap from Real Madrid, who comes there and says, yeah, I want to win because I know this club is going to win. They have a structure already. The back line is superb. They still have a classic goalkeeper. Bonucci and Barzagli look absolutely fantastic. Patrice Evra still goes from Manchester United when he looks like he's getting old and doing nothing. And comes over to the Serie A, different type of slower game. Fits for his legs. Technically, they're fantastic. I mean, this team, they get rid of Pirlo, but they still have guys that can create. They buy or borrow Morata from Real Madrid, which looks like one of the best moves in the last few years. For a striker like that, $24 million, he comes over, and the guys were way more, twice that now.
I know.
So, I mean, my hat's off to that crew.
It's extraordinary. And I mean, Sammy Khedira is going to be a very good player for them.
He is
going to
be.
His first match.
Yeah.
And he lasted 76 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, the manager said he's playing no matter what.
Yeah. No, he's
And he's a world-class player.
World-class, yeah. And he's been, you know, he's been left out of Madrid. It was time for him to move on at his time. Now he's at Juventus. And he's got, you know, it's a fresh start, and it's a good start. So I don't see it as a step down at all. It's a different league, different experience. Maybe a little less of a spotlight outside of Italy, but not that much. I mean, you're still going to be, I mean, you're playing for Juventus, and you're going to probably win the Serie A. They got a little bit of work to do domestically, but
and you're going to be in the final stages of the championship.
Yeah, you're definitely getting out of the group stage. I mean, Sevilla weren't even close. They had one shot, 24 shots. Juventus has.
Yeah, I mean, and the one shot really. I mean.
Yeah, that's not going to. Yeah.
I mean, well, the one shot really.
One shot. Oh,
remember the way these stats go. If a ball was somehow projected towards the goal, it's considered shot.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily dangerous, but speaking of world-class players and teams that are going to be in the final stages, Real Madrid, 2-0 win over Malmo. Now, Ronaldo, go and score your 500th and your 501st goal of your career. And he went ahead and tied Raul's Real Madrid scoring record of 323 goals. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, Lionel Messi out for up to 2 months with an MCL injury. I see Ronaldo maybe taking off and using this opportunity to really trying to establish himself as the world's best at this moment in time.
Yeah, good point. I think this will be kind of fun because it'll be gives Messi, you know, something to chase. Because I think in the end, for me, Messi's the best. He's absolutely insane. Ronaldo's the specimen. Well, we can talk about this. I mean, we've been there before. But yeah, what he's doing right now, though, you're right, is ridiculous. 500 goals. He's still got more to offer. 324 in the amount of games he's played for Real Madrid compared to how many Raul played. It's insane. So Raul was there almost his entire life. You know, he's been there since, what, 2010, 2009, something like that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's absolutely insane. So
he's amazing.
He's a crazy player. Congratulations to him. I'm not going to watch the documentary that's coming out about him because I think he's done okay. And, you know, maybe he had some tough times when he was younger, but I doubt
it. I'm a little disappointed he's got a documentary coming out.
Of all the things going on in the world, you know, Ronaldo, you haven't suffered that much. You'll bounce back.
Yeah.
So go ahead and, you know, congratulations to you. But, you know, I mean, 500 goals, that's a massive achievement. So, anyway, hats off to him.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, and let's be honest, he's going to break the record this weekend.
He'll break the
Real record this weekend. He's going to score this weekend.
He
will.
It's crazy. That's crazy how many goals
they have. A couple other notes from match day Wednesday at Champions League. CSK Moscow looked very good against PSV. Group B is all level on 3 points. That's good for Manchester United that CSK Moscow won that game, but they look good. It's going to be interesting how that, because CSK Moscow and Manchester United is going to be a difficult match for Manchester United. So that'll be interesting. Benfica with a massive 2-0 over Atletico in Madrid.
That's huge.
Atletico doesn't lose much in Madrid.
No.
So that was a huge win. And I think, for me, the biggest news of match day Wednesday, Astana. Kazakhstan side. First Champions League match ever played on Kazakhstanian soil. And it was a 2-2 over a Galatasaray side featuring Wesley Sneijder and Lucas Podolski that featured not one, not two, but 3 own goals, the last of which in the 89th minute, which got the home side the draw. was completely shocking. I don't even know what to say about that goal line, though.
Yeah, you know, he's trying to clear it off the line and takes a nice big swing at it. Shot on goal. Defender takes a swing at it and just roots it right into the back of the net. I mean, that's one of those cases. You know, it's easy to sit there and watch it and say, you should have done this and that, but you really should have done. You really should have just stuck a foot out. Hopefully it deflects over the foot and gets over the bar. There's no way you can clear that out on a one-time, you know, neck height volley. The guy tries to lift his leg up. Anyways, my description of it is poor, but huge work for Astana. I'm pretty happy for him. I'm glad that those guys got a point. Dallas has to have to look at that and think, what were we doing? The defending, you're right, Stomper. The defending was shocking in a lot of ways. All the old goals.
Oh, yeah.
So, but, hey, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that they got some points. They're one of those clubs that come out of the Eastern Europe. It's such a long road for those guys. And, you know, you see them, they're in there for, they get their games, and then they're gone because it's just so difficult. Six games and you're out. You don't really see many of those guys coming through to the round of 16. But, you know, Mate Borisov off to a good start, so we could see more of them in the round of 16.
Well, we could potentially, but I mean, maybe we'll see these guys in the Europa.
Astana is not going to be making it into the round of 16 for sure. But
no,
they might. But you know, I'm glad to see they get a point. They get a point.
Great to see them get a point. It's possibly their last one, but. It was great to see. I mean, just to be able to watch that own goal was like
unbelievable. Very
well, and you might have thought that David Ospina traveled from London to Kazakhstan to play on Wednesday because Astana's goalkeeper also threw a ball in his own goal for one of those own goals. It's shocking.
Right, no, that's true. By the way, actually, going back to our Ronaldo conversation, I take back what I said. I'm not sure he'll score this weekend. They do play Atletico Madrid. I forgot about Madrid derby. We will talk about that. But
yeah.
just throwing it out there, I want to retract what I said about Ronaldo scoring.
Yeah.
I'm not confident.
Well, and either way, after two matches, I mean, look at all we have to talk about at the Champions League. I mean, this is why we love it so much. I mean, I feel like we're 10 matches in, but we're only two matches into the Champions League right now.
It's
October 2nd, and I'm already fired up. It's just fantastic.
Would you say it's your favorite soccer competition?
Oh, yeah,
Champions
for sure.
League. Yeah. More than the World Cup?
Yes,
or?
For sure. No question. Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Well, because I know that Sepp Blatter isn't involved with this, so that helps. but, yeah, for sure, way better. Mm-hmm. I mean, one, we get it every year, not every 4 years, you know?
Right.
And I just, yeah. It's a different animal.
Yeah.
It is a different animal. You're listening to Todd Stauer and Aaron Hines here on From the Touchline in Seattle. They catch us every Friday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. We're going to move on from the Champions League. Although we're going to be talking about some of the same guys and some of the same characters here as we move into the Premier League, Hanzo.
Oh, the Premier League, what do they have to offer this weekend?
Well, let's just start. I mean, I guess let's go team by team. Chelsea, they struggled to draw Newcastle 2-2. If Steve McClaren isn't managing Newcastle, Chelsea loses that game. Only Steve McClaren could bottle a 2-0 lead when they're up 2-0 in the 78th minute. He's the only man that could do that. Newcastle looking as shocking as ever. Steve McClaren, I hope he's out and we never hear from him again. But now Chelsea face an extremely difficult task with Southampton on Saturday. And especially in the form Chelsea's in, this is not just a walkover.
No, Southampton had a great win over Swansea 3-1 this last weekend. Graziano Pele, it's finally kind of coming around. Southampton has had a slow start because they've lost enough people at this point in time, and they're not fooling anybody anymore. So they're a respectable team. They're going to cause you issues. And I think Chelsea, like you said, they've got a lot on their plate. Can they shut them down? What's going to be there? They're just in a malaise. Like, I don't really have another way of saying it. They just don't have what they had last year. It's so hard to repeat. And you don't have anybody else new other than Pedro. They don't have anybody else to, like, fire this team up, get things going. We just talked about sort of blue in the face. I mean, they just don't have anything. People aren't fooled right now. Defensively, Matic has to be exhausted. You know, he's doing it all over again, day in and day out.
No Diego Costa.
No Diego Costa, right.
Which I'm so glad I don't have to watch that guy run around and try to fight people all day. But, yeah, it's going to be –
Yeah.
And if they don't take points from that game, they're in a bad spot. In the league, they're in a bad spot.
Yeah. No, it's true. The fact that they came back against Newcastle United, it is Newcastle United who just are struggling all over the place. That says something. They still have some life in them. But they've gone. They've lost to a Porto team. Now they got to go to Southampton. They're playing at home against Southampton.
Yeah, Stamford Bridge. But just think about that. If they don't get a result at Stamford Bridge against Southampton in what's gone on this week, it's going to be...
It's going to be definitely a hot seat time for Mourinho. But who's it? Who? I don't see it happening. We can talk about it in a couple of weeks' time if Chelsea have lost a few more games after that.
Well, now do we have...
Look at they're playing at home against Southampton. Okay, that's a draw or a loss, right, if it doesn't go right. Then they play Villa. I mean, how can they not win that? And then they're away to West Ham. That's another one you could
draw.
They
might. I mean, it's easy to go to Villa and get distracted because there's a guy juggling bowling pins on the bench.
They're home this time.
The circus clown, Timmy Sherwood. Let's talk about Liverpool because they're another team that, I love to watch be terrible, and they are terrible right now. Coming off a less than impressive 3-2 win over at Villa and the Circus Clown. And then they go into a Europa League match during the week against a Sion, a Swiss side Sion, that they lost the previous week to a Luxembourg side.
Good.
And they tie them. They tie them at 1-1, and they did not look good in this game. Now they head in to a Merseyside derby at Goodison Park, that is essentially a must-win game. And I think they're in trouble. I think Lukaku is going to run right through them.
They know they have a battle on their hands, Liverpool.
Well, Everton does as well.
Yeah, Everton does as well. You know, they need the points just as much. I mean, Everton's fifth with 12 points, and Liverpool is ninth with 11 points. So they're pretty close. I agree. It's kind of a watered-down team, though, they throw into the Europa League, even though they still should beat the mid-table Swiss side. I completely agree with you.
Listen, we're talking about, quote-unquote, one of the biggest clubs in Europe.
Yeah, no, you're right. I totally agree with you.
Out and beat a Swiss side.
I totally agree with you. It's still, I just think, the Europa League is so tough to play. You play it on a Thursday, got to turn right back around and go play on a Sunday or a Saturday, whatever it is. But anyhow... you're looking at Liverpool's last starting team. You got Sturridge back with two goals, so that's a game changer. Everton are missing Seamus Coleman, a huge, massive defender right now. They've got Browning in there, and they've got a guy I've never heard of, Ramiro Funes Mori. And Mori, I just, whether he's been off my radar or whatever, I just don't know anything about him. So if he's a new guy at the back, that could be an issue for them, especially with Coutinho in there. But the midfield is still so solid. Gareth Barry, McCarthy, Ross Barkley. I mean, they've just been fantastic. Like you said, Lukaku. I mean, against Sako and Skrtel, that's a massive aerial battle right there. And that's going to be huge. Naismith has been on. Gerard Deulofeu, the Barcelona kid, great signing. Roberto Martinez is really starting to figure out. His team was last year supposed to be fantastic. He had a rough year last year. Now something's clicked. You got Kone on the bench.
I'm picking Everton to win this. Martinez, one of the big, when you get hired at Everton, one of the things they're looking for is, can you win this derby? Because that's a huge deal to them. Mm-hmm. I feel like because of the proximity of the two clubs, I mean, you can talk about City and United or any other derby where they're miles apart from each other, even though they're in the same city. You can literally walk from Goodison Park to Anfield in 5 minutes across the park.
Yeah.
So this match is so big for Everton, and I think they should just be licking their chops right now, seeing what Liverpool's done in the last 2 weeks, and just knowing that you can knock Brendan Rodgers out of a job has just got to be what a great position to be for Roberto Martinez. I'm jealous.
Yeah, I think there's only a few bright spots on the Liverpool team right now. Demiré Can, Coutinho, and Sturridge coming back, and that's it. They don't have much else to really be cheering for, and Everton look good as a whole team, even without Seamus Coleman, who has been fantastic at the beginning. So, I got to go with Everton at the point.
With Everton as this one as well. The other,
it's going to be close though. Cause it's like you said, the derby and a lot's going to happen. And Liverpool have been effective the last few years at it.
It is a derby, and literally anything can happen. I'm hoping. I'm going to be up. It's a 5:30 match here on Sunday. I'm going to be up to watch it. I can guarantee you that. I will be spending no time with Andy Mason on Saturday night so that I can get up to watch the game.
How about that? I'm good.
I told you he'd come up later in the podcast. He might come up again. The other big game in the Premier League, of course, Manchester United traveling to the Emirates to face this Arsenal team. Really in need of some confidence, in need of a result, and a manager in need of a result. Arsenal won just one of 13 Premier League matches against United. And United looks, like I said, they look to be hitting some good form aside from Wayne Rooney. What do you think about this match?
I think they're, you know, both teams after the last six games are actually surprisingly 4-1-1. But like I said, Arsenal having just lost to Chelsea 2-0. Then they go and they beat Leicester 5-2, and then they have this kind of nightmare against Olympiacos. At the Emirates, I agree with you. Manchester United are starting to pick up some steam. They now finally are back on top of the English Premier League. All they have had 1 point, and Manchester City is hosting Newcastle United this weekend. So you got to imagine that should be,
This is the first time in 2.5 years United sat on top of the Premier League.
They're back since Ferguson era. So they're back. Van Gaal's done it. Can he continue to do it? We'll see. But this is just another step. And to beat Arsenal now, a team that's sitting in fourth place is saying, and if they do it, if they really tear into them, then that's a statement to the rest of the league, I think. But, we'll see. Arsenal aren't going to give it up. They always come back. Especially against Manchester United team, they come back with a plan because they had a shocker. They go back to the drawing board. I mean, they did it to Leicester. They destroyed Leicester City, a team that's giving people a lot of problems right now, 5-2.
Yeah, it's true.
Their claws will be out, but how long are those claws for Arsenal? United are going to, that midfield is going to be dominated by a Schweinsteiger, Schneiderlin, even Wayne Rooney, who can work his way through it. So.
Yeah,
I'm saying United.
Yeah, I think United as well. I will say this. Van Gaal looks like a genius because he's back on the Premier League. But this Martial player, he also looks like a genius for bringing this kid in. Because, man, every time I see this kid play, he's dangerous every time he gets the ball. He looks better and better every time he plays. I mean, this is a great signing for Manchester United. And it's really opened up how they can play. You've seen their form. They've come into form. It's no coincidence that they've started to come into form when they've added this number 9 that they've so been looking for.
Right, and remember a question like a couple of weeks ago. I mean, I couldn't even watch Manchester United. It's just so difficult. It's the same thing we saw last year where they passed it around and a back four or a back eight stood in front of them and watched them pass the ball around and do nothing, and then it was a cross in, and then sub Fellaini in with 15 minutes to go, and hopefully you can head something in the goal. You're like, is this it, Bengal? This is what you're doing? Maybe the whole time he was setting up to have his number 9, because he's done it at other clubs. He's done it again. It hasn't always been inspiring to watch, that's for sure. And it hasn't been, cutthroat counterattack Manchester United, but maybe he's got his team. Smalling's playing well again.
Well, I was just going to say, I've been a very big critic of Chris Smalling. And he was a 9 out of 10 in the ratings from the Champions League match.
He was unbelievable. He was great.
I thought he was the player of the match.
Yeah.
He was very good defensively. Obviously, he got the goal. But he was very good. Really, really did well. I mean, keep in mind, Smalling is playing with Daley Blind.
Who's a good organizer? Not the most athletic, I'll give you that.
He is, but listen, at one point in the Wolfsburg match, he was sprinting for a ball that popped out to the right sideline. And it literally, I can't even describe it. It was like watching him run. He was working so hard, and he was going nowhere.
Maybe it was a sandy part of the pitch. Maybe it was sand. There was a lot of sand.
It looks like he's running in a sandbox at all times. That's what it looks like. But fair play to him. He is a good organizer. He's a very smart player. He better be smart if he's that smart.
Right. Jeez. He is smart. Yeah. I think Manchester United are going to go out and win this game. You know, they're obviously, they came back against Wolfsburg. There's still little things like that back line thing we did see, Valencia keeping them onside. Blind made the mistake of going out, trying to grab it, and Wolfsburg are in just like that. But, you know, those things
that
still have to be cleaned
from
up.
From Blind and Schneiderlin, it was some bad defense.
Yes.
Because both of them went out there, and the guy just cut in on them. It was very bad. But
the fact that they're scoring, like you said, Martial looks dangerous every time he's on the field. Now that's something they have to worry about, and will that maybe open up things eventually for Wayne Rooney if he gets a scoring touchback?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think...
If Wayne Rooney comes into form, it's only going to help him. So it's good news. You're listening to Tom Stauber and Aaron Hines in here on From the Touchline in Seattle every Friday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. If you want to catch us even earlier, you can show up at Lorette Coffee House, 7 a.m. Hinesville was a little late this morning, about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's the Andy Machen delay when two times turns into five.
It was nice. I had a nice time. It was good, man. Thanks, Machen.
Yeah, I passed up on that. I was getting some pressure. I passed up. moving on, we got some other big European matches this weekend. We already mentioned the Madrid derby, Real Atletico on Sunday. Always just such a great game. So that should be an interesting one. You also have Bayern and Dortmund on Sunday, the two top teams in the Bundesliga, which this Bundesliga, I tell you, watching these Bundesliga teams play in Europe, in the Champions League and in the Europa League, they look better than the Premier League teams. I don't know what you have to say about
it. Well, you know, the Germans have been kind of on top of world soccer. You know, ever since Spain had their moment, now Germany is the new it team, it country. Obviously, a big part of it was Guardiola going over there saying, I've seen what German football is becoming. I want to be involved in it. He's turned Bayern Munich into a massive machine. I mean, Barcelona did just win the treble last year, so Spain might not, you know, by any means are not out there. But the new TV contract the United States finally got to bring the German Bundesliga here is pretty exciting. So we get more exposure, we see more players, and you know, we've already talked about the Bayern. Let's take a look at the Borussia Dortmund team. I mean, people that you know, you got Mats Hummels, you got Schmelzer, Mkhitaryan, Gundogan. Kabalak Gundogan, huge player for Germany in the last one against Scotland.
Janazai?
Yeah, Janazai on loan. Senji Kagawa, Marco Reus, and who can forget Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored two goals this last game. The Dortmunds are, they're both sitting there. Dortmund have 5 wins, 2 losses. They're both undefeated.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich with seven wins, no losses. I mean, you have to look and say, who's going to stop Bayern? And this is pretty much the only team that can do it right now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but I think it's just going to be a great match. I mean, it's early in the year, obviously. I think both these teams are going to end up at the top of the Bundesliga. But, you know, it's great. And, you know, like I said, the Bundesliga to me is just picking up a lot of steam. And to me, if I'm going to rate the leagues in the world, it's closing in to me that the Bundesliga is about to jump over the Premier League. I'm not going to say it's happened yet, but it's very close because, because you can argue that after the top, let's take after the top four in England and after the top four in Germany, that the level drops off. But how far does it drop off in Germany, and does it drop off as far as it does in England? I don't think it drops off as far.
Well, you do. I mean, yeah, you do have Dortmund just tying. You know, they're on ninth. Darmstadt tied 2-2, came back and scored a goal last week. So, and they're sitting in ninth place. I think some of these teams, like Hanover, are really struggling. Stuttgart are struggling. Augsburg are struggling. Those teams don't get often. But I think you're right. There's more parity there in the Germany than there is in Spain.
But
that's for sure.
I mean, play Stuttgart against Aston Villa.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Stuttgart, we're just are a good side. No question about it. And they just had a very nice result the other day. I can't remember what it was. Okay. They are sitting in the ground.
I mean, look
right
at Gladbach. Gladbach was the better team against City in the Champions League, and they're sitting in 12th place.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying they're in the conversation. The Bundesliga is getting in the conversation. Another big match on Sunday, PSG-Marseille.
Yeah, PSG-Marseille. Classic team coming from France, but they're not doing very well. They're sitting in 15th. PSG are sitting in first. It's going to be its game is in Paris. It's going to be, I think, kind of a see you later Marseille kind of thing. They're in a goal drought a little bit. They just lost to Angers. If I'm saying that right, 2-1. Marseille can give this mission. I think it's going to be all PSG. PSG, I think, are one of the top five in Europe right now, as far as that goes.
Yeah.
End of story. I mean, they have Cabea. They've got Lassana Diarra. Mandanda's in goal. Great goalkeeper for them. But I don't think Marseille have enough. And PSG are running the show with the amount of money they have, pretty much.
Yeah, clearly PSG is the top French side, and I think this French league is definitely not as strong as the Bundesliga or as the Premier League. I would say La Liga, Premier League, Bundesliga for me right now. Top three, and then Serie A.
Serie A, then the French league. Yeah, I would agree with that. Are you just taking you're just taking the top teams, or are you
taking the whole group? Taking the whole thing.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah,
so, I mean,
the top six of this La Liga is pretty good. Pretty dang good.
Yeah, I think it is.
You
and,
got
and
Villarreal,
again, like,
Villarreal sitting on top right now, and it's early.
But Celta Vigo's in the mix. I mean, there's a lot of teams there that are very good. So I don't know. Well, I mean, it's just a topic of conversation, obviously, but I just... You know, the Premier League is obviously the most popular league in the world, but to me, it's not the best in terms of the soccer that's being played and the teams that are coming out.
Right.
You know?
It is. I will say, I think it's the most exciting product because of the pace that they play at. And you know, you watch some of the other games. Watching a Serie A game can be tough sometimes because just nothing happens for 20 minutes at a time, and maybe even a La Liga occasionally.
And he passes it back. And he passes it back again.
Yeah, right.
And now it's at the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And he goes wide.
And he goes wide. Yeah,
and
exactly. But I mean, and Premier League is just so wonderful to see. But the fans are really close. But yeah, I know exactly where Ian stops. And
but I just see, I mean, the Champions League results kind of stare you in the face.
I mean,
and you start to realize that, hey, maybe this league is the most exciting, but maybe not the best. So let's move on to the MLS, because the MLS, the playoff race is anything but clear, and almost every single MLS matchup this weekend holds some major importance. It starts tonight in the East. New York City FC plays DC United. New York City FC still somehow with an outside chance of sneaking in the playoffs. DC United, after leading the entire MLS for much of the year, still somehow with a chance to slip out of the playoff time, though. It's certainly not clear. There's not many points that separate anything anywhere in the East or in the West anymore. It's kind of unbelievable that we've gone through the entire season. We've got 3 to 4 games left to play, and here we are, and nothing is really clear. We've got the Supporters' Shield is still up for grabs. Right now, New York Red Bull LA Galaxy looks to be on top of that. We'll talk about their match with Seattle here in a bit. I mean, you've got a lot going on here. Toronto and DC United are trying to play their way out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Montreal is playing their way in. Orlando City with a massive game against Montreal this weekend. Orlando City still has a chance to get in.
Still the chance, and they got to handle Didier Drogba, who, as we were saying about DC United, 2 goals against DC United. You know, it's Didier Drogba. So I got to go with Montreal beating Orlando. They don't have a back line. Colleen's not going to be able to hang on Didier Drogba. If he gets his hand on the box, it's going to be an issue. Coutinho and Kyle Larin can't really seem to connect all the time these days. I'm going to say it's Montreal. I think they're grabbing Drogba is what's going to propel them into the playoffs.
Well, what about Drogba's 2 goals? Let's talk about those against DC United, because he hit a free kick that I've never seen him hit anything like that before. And then he scissored a central defender and exploded like he was 24, not 37, and lifted for a second goal.
Well,
I mean, it was like...
He's just, you know, he's got into the league. Right, it's not the Premier League. He's having a lot of fun. He's getting away with stuff. You know, he's just scoring goals. I mean, that's what he does, and he's enjoying his time. And, you know, I'm sure Pirlo and everybody else were wishing he was on their team as well, because the guy is just a monster player. And he's proven it. So, I mean, if you want to score goals, this is another example of a guy who's going to come in, not going to hang out, not going to be like, I'm Didier Drogba, I've done it all, I don't need to do anything here. And he's just making a statement, and it's great to see.
So
yeah, it is great. It's great for the league. Obviously, great for Montreal.
Yeah, there's you just don't see a guy like that anywhere else play other than maybe Robbie Keane. Well, maybe with his size, you're not seeing anybody else like that in the league who's just going to manhandle you. Maybe Kakamara.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, Sebastian Giovinco will manhandle you, but in a different way.
Right.
This guy is unbelievable.
Right, Robbie Keane the same way.
Yeah. The only other big game, well, every game is a big game, but the other big game in the East, Saturday, New Red Bull Columbus, they face off in a match that's got supporter shield implications. So that should be another good match there. Columbus, though, coming off a surprising loss. The Western Conference playoff hopeful, Portland. Surprised at that result. That's a good result for Portland.
Really good result. First win there in Columbus. So huge result for them.
Yeah, it's a big one. It keeps them in that number six spot, although it's very tight. Sets them up for an even more important match this Saturday, Sporting Kansas City, where they're really only behind 1 point.
Yeah.
The Western Conference, I mean, for lack of a better term, it's a gong show. There's 9 points separating first and eighth place.
You're absolutely right. I cannot tell you who's going to really finish in the playoffs other than it's going to be, I could say, the top three. But that's really kind of still a risk. But, you know, I don't see Dallas, Vancouver, or L.A.
Because Dallas has a huge game against Houston,
right?
And Houston's still sniffing around. If Houston gets this result, Portland loses to Kansas City, San Jose with a huge game against Vancouver. I mean, it could all be turned upside down.
Yeah.
And you also have, of course, Seattle Sounders hosting L.A. Galaxy this weekend. Seattle Sounders haven't lost in six matches. Another good draw on the road to Sporting Kansas City, 1-1. Although now Seattle has lost both of their starting center backs, Chad Marshall, training ground collision, smashes his head on the ground. You know he's had concussion problems in the past.
Yeah.
They're saying it's a sprained neck, taken out of Starfire Sports Complex in an ambulance, out of training. Things don't look good for him. I hope he's able to play and come back for the playoffs. If they make it, we'll see. But, of course, the good news is Obafemi Martins, Clint Dempsey reunited. They haven't lost in six games, and now Nelson Valdez has come into the team, and he's had a huge impact for the Sounders.
Yeah, he's been a great addition. And Yvonne Schitz, too, has also been pretty effective. But you're right, Stubbs, now they have to play, you know, arguably the most – potent offense in the entire league with the Gerard, Keane, Giovanni Dos Santos crew, Alan Gordon, you know, et cetera, kind of group out there. 50 points, LA Galaxy on top. I think it was pretty much a matter of time. And they're missing their two center backs. They've lost Torres, and now they've lost Marshall.
So now they're back to the Brad Evans.
Will Zach Scott go
Zach
in?
Scott.
Yeah, he will.
He will.
And you know, experienced guy and stuff. But it's just good. I mean, that's a tough group to play. LA's kind of got the
Zach
number.
Zach Scott and Brad Evans are going to really, really have a tough time. If they can win that game, it will take.
It will be huge.
Brilliant performances
from
both of those two players, and what looks to be O'Neill Fisher on the left and probably Tyrone Mears on the right.
Right, exactly. This is exactly probably what's going to be. Alonzo back, so he's back
helps.
In the mix. That helps.
And that's going to be an interesting matchup, him and Stevie G. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am too. It's a good point. You know, Steven Gerrard, so.
But listen, Dos Santos
on the wing. And I
Robbie Keane.
Yeah, it's Yossi Jardis. Thank you. That's the other one I was looking for. You're right. It's going to be a great game. Lot on the line. Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. Go on. Yeah.
And I'll be with 200 kids from our club at the University of Washington UCLA game.
Which will be great, too. That's a great game. You know, a little Pac-12 action going on. Yeah, that will be cool.
Yeah, should be great.
Always nice to see. Bummer that that is on the same night as the Seattle-LA.
I know, I'm a little disappointed in that. So.
But go Dawgs.
We could have had two big events in Seattle this week.
Right, like a Saturday night, Sunday night.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess.
Surprised they didn't sort that out well.
Yeah.
Anyways, you're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen here on From the Touchline in Seattle. We had a little time issue last week and had to abruptly end it. We missed World 11 and the bottom three. The good news is, that means you get another World 11. I'm going to take a bottom six this week since I missed it last week. So let's get going on your World 11, Heinz. I want to hear this.
All right, so here it is. World 11 for this week. Goalkeepers Joe Hart, talked about that already. Mid-City display, fantastic saving the penalty kick. Few breakaways, did a great job. Mike Holm gets the right back spot for the game winner for Porto over his old coach, Jose Mourinho, kind of spoiling his homecoming. David Luiz, he's in it, gets a goal against Shakhtar. They won 3-0 PSG. Easily done. David Luiz, though, gets a goal, center back, effective, gets a shutout.
The goal did hit off his thigh. It was a deflection that hit his thigh.
Giving it to him,
it was
though.
A power thigh goal.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they get the shutout against Shakhtar. That's not a bad team. I threw in a pair here, Bonucci, Barzagli, Juventus. I mean, just domination. I had to throw those guys in. And then here's one for you. Ante Borisov, left back, Filip Mladenovic. Two goals against Roma to help them win 3-2. It's fabulous.
Wow, the left back.
Yeah, the left back. All right. So he absolutely gets in there. Sofiane Farzouli, the Algerian midfielder, 1-0 win over Lyon. His strike, great goal. Cambiasso, part of that Olympiacos midfield, gets in there in the middle three for me for that performance, 3-2 win over Arsenal. Set up his pass, set up the assist, which gets the winning goal. Nicolas Gaitan, a goal and an assist, and Benfica's win over Atletico. So a lot of Champions League guys mixed in here.
Yeah, man.
Ronaldo, you know, 501 goals on Malmo. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, throw him in there.
Yeah, throw him in there. Throw him in on the right side. In the center position, center forward, Lewandowski. 10 goals, 3 games. Pretty straightforward. Another hat trick. The left, getting a little asterisk. Not quite in the 11, but, you know, on the side. I'm giving my last one here for a second. But it's Nikola Kalinic. Scored a hat trick for Fiorentina in their 4-1 win last week in the Serie A over Milan. Fiorentina are now on the top of Serie A, Inter in second. So, huge game. Guy scores a hat trick in it. Great performance.
Yeah.
And my last one, Amy Rodriguez. Hate to say it. I hate to say it, Amy. But she's in the starting 11 here. Left forward, game win over Seattle. 1-0 win on the rain. Congratulations to Kansas City winning the NWSL. So, that's it. World 11. There it is.
Well, I love it. Yeah. You're actually picking a bench in the World 11 now. That's good. I'm picking six in the bottom three, so you can pick a bench.
Yeah, why not?
It's evolving. It's the world team.
Absolutely. And, of course, it's always coached by Scott Kinnegan,
who had a huge 3-0 win over Romania last Monday. So, big game against Pizzuto's coming up this week. We'll see.
Are you going to put yourself in the bottom three for that trap that you had with the...
Oh, God, yeah. Actually, I need to put both of us in the bottom three.
I'll probably pass. Here.
Yeah, actually, I am going to put both of us in the bottom three. Joint spot, we're in number six. Todd Stauber, Aaron Heinzen, for the first time in the history of the bottom three.
Yes.
For me, for having a ball coming with nobody within 15 yards of me, it went right under my foot out of bounds. For Heinz, though, nobody around him. Me opening up on the right back for a clear pass 15 yards to my left, about 6 feet in the air. Howling straight out of bounds, the thing was whistling by me.
Now, you know, I wanted to pull it down with your chest, you know, maybe get a little stretch.
Yeah, unlucky. So yeah, we're in the bottom three there, bottom six in the sixth spot. In the fifth spot, I'm going to go to David Ospina, getting his chance. Wenger gives him a little bit of faith, and he throws a cross in the goal, and they lose to Olympiacos. David Ospina, number five, and in number four, the man himself, Arsene Wenger. Why? Do not play Petr Cech. You bought him for these kinds of games to play in the Champions League. Play David Ospina in the Capital One Cup or the FA Cup or Anniversary of Game, or don't play him at all. I don't care. Why do you need to play him? You don't need to. You bought Petr Cech for a reason. You're a donkey, Wenger, and I hope you win this weekend. In the third spot, Jose Mourinho just continuing to melt down, going home to Porto, losing not only there, but losing to San Iker Casillas, who he treated so poorly at Real Madrid, thought he was above a player that had been there for a long time, showed absolutely no respect to the player, for a player that had helped build not only Real Madrid, but the Spanish national team when they won all of those European championships and World Cups, just no respect for the player. You know, I don't care if you drop a player, but show him some personal respect. He didn't, so... Very happy to see him go in there and lose. He's in the bottom three because of it. Number two, the referee from the Manchester United Wolfsburg game had a absolute shocker. I mean, I don't know how these guys are getting on these big games. I mean, he was so bad. They're throwing yellow cards for nothing. I mean, he was just so bad. I just can't handle these guys. It's just horrible. He's in the number two spot. And the number one spot, my bottom three, hate to say it, Wayne Rooney. Just
really on him right now.
I am on him. I expect more from him. He's just, you know, I just feel like, you know, he no longer is he going to play up top. So now they're trying to carve a place off Rooney in the midfield as a number 10. And to me, he's not doing it. And to me, he's only holding his spot based on his reputation and based on the relationship he has with Louis van Gaal and being the captain of the team. I accept he's a leader of the group, but I don't accept that he's the best guy to be playing the number 10 right now. I think that either Juan Mata in there and putting Ashley Young or somebody else out wide right or putting Ander Herrera in there would be a better choice right now based on how he's playing. I'm going to give him the number one spot in the bottom three / bottom six.
Do you think Wayne Rooney will score in the next two games, three games?
No, because today he's off the penalties now.
Yeah.
I don't.
No, and, don't think he'll score in the run of play.
If he does, it'll be a tap-in.
Right.
Listen, if he scores and plays well, I'm going to be the happiest guy because there's nobody who wants him to play better than me, but I got to be honest. I got to call a spade a spade.
Yeah,
I put myself in there, I'm putting him in there.
Fair enough. Well, that sounds well done.
Yeah. We're just going to go on a little two-touch here just to finish out the show here, Heinz. So we got Jordan Morris scoring two goals as the USA U23 could beat Canada 3-1 in Olympic qualifying. By the way, the first goal came in 42 seconds, and Canada hadn't touched the ball yet by the time the U.S. scored their first goal. Fantastic as a header by Morris. I did want to actually ask you a question. I can't remember who was the last U.S. coach to fail to qualify the Olympic team for the qualifiers. I think the only coach in the history.
I can't remember who it is. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, I did a little research, and I'll give you a hint. He's wearing a scarf, and it's not Ziggy Schmidt.
I think it's the Portland Timbers coach, Caleb Porter, with the last
one. Oh, yeah,
one
that's right, Caleb Porter, right. No,
but he was unlucky. He was just an unlucky run. Yeah, that one four-goal game or three-goal game or whatever it was. Can tell. Hopefully gets him in Portland in the playoffs. That's his job now.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't mind him getting in the playoffs because then I'd like to see him lose in the playoffs. So that'd be fun. Next up, Kansas City, as you mentioned, defeats Seattle Reign 1-0 to win the NWSL crown in Portland last night. Really unlucky for Seattle, who has, you know, they've been in the final each of the last 2 years.
Kansas City does it again.
Seattle Reign coach, fantastic coach of Kansas City, beats them again, and Amy Rodriguez does it again.
Yeah.
And as a result, she's in Heinzo's World 11, and she deserves to be.
It's a great goal. Good goal.
Header, 78th minute header. Great goal, great win for them. Same two teams in the final this year as it was last year, same result.
Right.
Unlucky for Seattle. We know a couple guys on their staff very well, Sam Lady, Ben Dragamon. I know that they're, you know, waking up this morning just not happy, and I feel for them.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, though, Sam Lady's back in time to cover my U17.
Perfect. Thanks, Sam. Good job.
Great job. So the other thing to mention in two touch here, Sporting Kansas City defeats Philadelphia Union 7-6 on penalties to take the U.S. Open Cup. I think that's the second one for them in 3 years.
Yeah, good week for Kansas City soccer.
Yeah, but I will say that that sets up an interesting situation with Kansas City and Portland this weekend.
Yeah,
because Kansas City obviously going to be tired, going to have to rotate their squad, opens up the door for potentially Portland to get a result there and jump them in the standings. And I mean, Sporting Kansas City is right there on the out. You know, they're flirting with being in and also being out of the playoffs. So, but congrats on winning the U.S. Open Cup. Great thing for them. Always good when you can take home a trophy.
Absolutely.
I think we're done, Heinz. So I think we got through it all.
That's it. We've done it.
That's it. Like Ferris Bueller said, there's no more. Go home.
Why are you
still here?
Oh, I love that one.
For Aaron Heinzen, I'm Todd Stauber. Another week in the books. It's going to be a great weekend of soccer, world soccer. Make sure that you get out there and watch as much as you can. We will be, and we'll be back next Friday to cover it all. I'll actually be broadcasting from Austin City Limits.
Austin City Limits. He loves it.
I'm going to be broadcasting from the hotel room in Austin with Andy Mach and Kevin Sakuda and Meg O'Brien.
Wonderful.
And and I'll be in Austin. You'll be here in Seattle, but we're not. We're on. There's too much to talk about.
Oh yeah.
Not to go on.
Oh yeah. We'll be there. We'll be ready.
We'll be there. So signing out here. Great show, Heinzo. Just really, really enjoyed that one. Until next week, have a good week. Enjoy the soccer this weekend.